I get the opportunity to introduce our guest speaker, which is our very own Sue Carpenter. And everybody, I want you to give a big round of applause.
Oh, all the time. I'm not proud. I accept help anytime I can get it. Well, I just want to, again, thank you guys for coming this morning. And I just appreciate you all so much. Just we've been going to the prayer center now since 92, and it's been a long time since we've had a women's get-together, a women's time of fellowship, and just enjoying each other's company, getting to know each other better. And I think it's so important, and I just appreciate everything. I'm so thankful that we have Leah here. Leah, would you stand up? Because she is the one that takes care of everything. She just handles things and organizes things. And her and Janet have that knack for doing those things. And I've always appreciated them. Leah asked me specifically to teach on confession. And now, because I'm married to Gary, I couldn't imagine. I said yes because Leah asked me. And I was thinking, how in the world can I teach on confession any better than Gary? I mean, because to me, and I'm being totally honest with you, to me, Gary is the best teacher that I have ever heard. And I have heard many. And we got saved in 1980. And I've listened to some of the great men of God from our generation and just appreciate them so much. But when I see what the Lord has done in Gary and has gradually brought him to the place that he is now, where he can teach people and they can get it. His heart had always been, ever since we got saved, that Christians stop being devil fodder. You know what fodder is, okay? That they learn enough, that they know enough about the Word, that they know how to use it with the authority that they've been given by the Lord Jesus Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit, that their lives could actually change and they could walk in the power that we always saw in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So that's been his heart all along, and mine too. I have to tell you, I have never thought of myself as a teacher in that same sense, and I don't have the same calling. Anytime that you all, when you're married, the Lord puts you in one ministry. He's called you to one ministry with different manifestations. It's always one ministry. Ever since we got saved, we have met different couples along the way, and they talk about my ministry, and it's like they think of them as separate things, but they are never separate things when you're married. They just aren't. You're one flesh and one calling. The gifts of the Holy Spirit can flow differently through you. The manifestations of the Spirit are he's such a God of variety. each one of you will allow him to flow through you in totally different ways, probably, than through me or through any person here. All unique. He didn't make one snowflake alike. He didn't make just one flower. He didn't make just one tree or one creature. He is a God of infinite variety. And he will use you in such a variety of different ways for each one of you. And because I'm teaching on confession, I just want to tell you just a little bit. When I got saved in 1980, in September, Gary had gotten saved in July. And the night that Jesus called my name out loud, from then on, my world was totally different. My world just turned upside down. Everything that I had thought was the truth before that, he gradually showed me how I had believed the lies that every person in the world believes, and even some Christians. For those of you who haven't heard my testimony before, I had probably gone to church maybe, not more than 10 times probably in my whole life. And they were different churches, and I don't even know the names of them. And I still do not know what different denominations believe. I knew early on that I was not supposed to study the origins of the different denominations. The Holy Spirit kept me from lots of things that I could have gotten into. He would just lead and guide me with the books to read. Plus, we had a wonderful tutor in Michael. And so we got hold of the Hagen and tapes, and later the Charles Capps tapes, and all of the other great men that we really admire and know speak the truth. And I can't tell you what it was like when I first started reading the Word of God after I got saved that night. We got filled with the Holy Spirit shortly thereafter. My hunger for the Word of God was just like Gary's. I spent all my days. I didn't want to go to work. We were still selling real estate then. And I found myself doing the same thing that he had done that scared me, when he'd walk around the house in this robe and unshaven for days, you know. All he wanted to do was read the Bible. And I found myself doing the same thing. Just a voracious appetite. And I knew that it was a matter of life and death that I get it in me. And the very first time that I ever read, Michael had to start in the New Testament, of course. But the very first time that I read in Genesis, where God comes down on the plains of Shinar when they built Babylon and said, well, you all, if you brought your Bibles, you can turn with me there. But basically it says, now that these people, you don't have to turn there. These people are of one mind and one accord now. Nothing will be withheld from them that they imagine to do. Something like that. Now, when I saw that statement, I said something like, Gary, did you know this was in here? Look at what God is saying here. He's actually saying that when people get in one mind and one accord and they're totally in agreement that they can do anything. And we're talking about a group of people. Now, that was news to me. Everything was news to me. I don't know how many times I said, Gary, did you know this was in here? Some of it he did, some of it he didn't. And from the very beginning, now we had gone to lots of those positive mental attitude seminars because we were in real estate, and we had read books about the things that the world had found out about how people operate. And people are affected by words that you say. But it was just something that it wasn't. It was just the world's teaching, you know. Well, when I started reading Proverbs, and I just couldn't believe the how important God thought words were. He created the earth with words, and it's still expanding today because he hasn't taken back his word. The universes are, there's still things being created, galaxies, because God has not ended light be. And Gary's taught you well about how, and when the Holy Spirit taught us about the Holy Spirit hovering on the face of the earth, but he knew the mind of God. He knew exactly what God had in mind, but he didn't move until God spoke it. And then you see all through the Bible, God spoke his Son into existence. Well, I say it like that, but you know what I mean. All through the, he kept telling them, I'm sending you a Savior. I'm sending you a Messiah. He's going to rule and reign, and he's going to be your salvation through every prophet. He kept speaking it. And until Jesus, the Word, was made flesh. And that's exactly what God has in mind for us. We speak the Word until it becomes flesh, until it comes to manifest in the natural realm. All through. I started with Proverbs because Michael suggested it. Proverbs itself is written directly for the soul. These people were not born again, but it gives you such a picture. If you will take Proverbs and read all of it over and over and over, a person could do that, not be saved, and still have a pretty good life, because the laws of God are set into effect and they work for anyone. They can go to hell if they don't receive Jesus as Lord, but still they can have the laws of God work in their lives. Because we have so many young women, and we have such a fine crop of babies, some of the prettiest babies I've ever seen. If you can teach your children while they're young the things in Proverbs, because children are like a wall-to-wall soul. They're just, now we know. That they don't have the Spirit of God within them like when you get born again. They're kept by the power of the Holy Spirit until they come to the age of accountability. But their souls need training so much in the Word of God. They need to be taught that how their emotions going in a opposite direction from God's word can always get them into trouble. I used to have Aaron would memorize some of the things from Proverbs. I would keep telling her over and over about lying lips being an abomination to the Lord. And she could say those, some of them, from memory. I've talked to Erin before about, she was 11 or 12 when we got saved. And it's not supposed to be that way. We didn't get saved until we were 33 years old. So, the things that the Holy Spirit taught me about confession early on, I started using for over Erin and over Gary, and different things would come up. And all through their teenage years, I would confess the Word of God over the girls, all of the mostly New Testament. Now, when Erin was going through a certain period, the Lord gave us Isaiah 49 that we would worship Him for all the time, continually. You all know what that is. And about your children being the prey for the terrible. Says, shall the 49:24-25, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contends with thee, and I will save thy children. And the Lord spoke that to us one day. From that day on, that's what we said. And we do it like this. Father, you say the prey. The devil has tried to take our children prey. You say that you'll take them from the mighty. And even though they're lawful captives, you will deliver them. And you contend with him that contends with us, and you save our children. It was like that. All different things would come up, different verses, their light shining in darkness in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. They hold fast to the word of truth. We would just walk the floor and or sit on the sofa and just do that together. And all during the day, but it was not only for our souls, for peace for our souls, because the Word of God brings peace to your soul, but it was also to give him the authority. By then we knew about the authority that our lips gave Jesus. The words that we spoke gave Jesus. I have the love chapter here from the Amplified Bible. That was one of the very first things Michael told Gary and I to do, to insert our name in the love chapter and to speak it over each other. How many of you have an Amplified Bible or access to it? Praise God. Well, for those of you that don't, I'll be happy to make you copies of this. And you can do that for yourself, your husband, your spouse, your children. You can for anyone. But I want to read this to you. And the way that I did this, that Gary and I did this, and all through the years, Gary endures long and is patient and kind. Gary never is envious or boils over with jealousy. Gary is not boastful nor vainglorious, does not display himself haughtily. Gary is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. Gary is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. God's loving Gary does not insist on its own rights or on its own way, but it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Gary does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. His hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and he endures everything without weakening. God's love in Gary never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. And we've done this over our girls, over all of our daughters. There are so many scriptures that I used as the way the Holy Spirit taught me when I began reading the Word of God. I would sit there, and this was all within the first year. It was such a rapid change for me. And he would say, I would be reading, and he'd say, "Say that out loud. And say that over Gary. Say that over yourself, over your marriage. Say that over your kids." As I would read, these scriptures would just come flying up in my face. It was that as though they were magnified and a light shone on them. And after a while, it got to the place where, after I had put the Word of God in me for a while, I would see them without reading them. They would be illuminated black on white in my mind. The Holy Spirit would speak to me as I was reading the Word, explaining things to me. If I don't know if you can understand what it's like, those of you that have been saved since you were little, but it was a totally new world for me, and he had to start from scratch and explain things in great detail in simple terms. Now, when I say the Holy Spirit, I don't know then if it was the Holy Spirit, but the words were definite. But he wasn't the one that called my name, and I know they were separate. And I knew Jesus had called my name. And when I read that he had sent the Holy Spirit to be my teacher, these things were so astounding to me that he would actually send the Holy Spirit to teach me the Word of God. And I wanted to, I have all of these things from Proverbs. When he started teaching us about the words of our mouth, these things, as I would go through Proverbs, they were just, it was like alarm bells and excitement and I can't describe to you the feeling that I had when I poured over the Word of God and the Holy Spirit would explain these things to me. And if you don't believe... another thing he told me was, you know that thing that... You know that little rhyme that parents teach their children? And I had taught Aaron this. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never hurt you. That's a lie. he told me that as I was reading all this stuff. You believed a lot of other things that aren't true, and I'll show them to you. But let's go ahead and take a break, and you guys just go to the restroom or something and have a couple of testimonies or whatever y'all want to do. Like I say, if I thank y'all for putting up with me. I'm not used to this yet. I promise you, I'll get used to it. And I want to do whatever the Lord wants me to do. I would like to know Well, I told the girls I wouldn't put them on the spot, but I was asking them, what do you remember? Because it seemed so, it was something that I regretted so much, because we didn't get saved until they were older. And so they went through all of these years of us learning, and they saw all the mistakes that we made. And it wasn't, we didn't change overnight. I mean, well, we did in a sense, but because of where we are, not knowing anything at all. And Gary says he was in the, like in the sub-basement, you know, with all the religion that he had. He said I was like a clean slate. You know, the Lord could just write on me anything he wanted. But it wasn't easy. And the transition in our life was so, so, it was something else. I don't know what the kids thought. I don't, as they watched us all those years making the mistakes. Trying to hear God and the times that we thought we heard Him, but it wasn't Him, and we would act on it and not see it come to pass, and the years that we were not able to believe His word, that we had gotten so weak. Because of the just all the circumstances and the devil's assaults that just continued beating our brains out just about, and we were out of church, and I don't know how that affected them. They may not know either. I know I appreciate our girls so much, and I know for one thing, our girls will fulfill what they've been called of God to do. They will receive the fullness of everything that He has for them. He'll work in them both to will and to do for His good pleasure. And He will fulfill His good pleasure in them and that work of faith with power. That's what the Lord will do in our girls. And He'll do the same thing in y'all's too. I know that. If you believe Him for it and thank Him for it. And so I just appreciate you all listening, and I don't know if Leah will want me to talk any further, but I just appreciate it, you guys. My heart's desire in doing this, with all the, it wasn't like a fear or anything. It's just because I'm not used to it yet. I learned a lot of times a long time ago, that the fear of man brings a snare, and that I'm only interested in pleasing Jesus and not man. But that took me a long time to get to that place. And I think it does a lot of women, especially when you're married, you know. Anyway, you guys just go have fun, and I'll answer any questions that you have. I'll try my best to answer them. And if I don't know the answer, I'm sure that somebody else here does. And I look forward to hearing all of you guys' testimonies about how the Lord is working in your life and what He's taught you. Every one of us has been taught by the Holy Spirit. Even if you feel like you haven't been taught much or you don't know anything, no matter how old you are, no matter how young, the Holy Spirit Himself has been training you. And if each one, I pray, my prayer was that when you leave here, that you have more an awareness of the Holy Spirit in your life every day to teach you all the things you need to know, and to raise your children, to take care of your grandchildren, to pray over them. He's so eager to help you. The first thing in the morning, if you will start acknowledging, just Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with me today. There's nothing that's going to happen today that you're not aware of. You give me words of wisdom, words of knowledge. You give me discernment and understanding. You even cause your power to work through me to change things in this earth, change things in people's lives, and even in this nation. I'm sorry.
No.
And he will teach you how to intercede for people who are about to die, either spiritually or physically. The only thing he needs is your time. And that's the hardest thing. because that's what your life. And every day you choose whether or not you're going to hear him, whether or not you're going to listen to him. He lusts after your time, that time with you. And if you will start speaking to him and worshiping the Lord in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to him, he will say, he will come. And he'll say, I want you to give me so-and-so today. I want you to hand them over to me and let me work in their lives. And he'll tell you words to speak over them. The word of God. He'll tell you prayers to pray as you are looking at the word of God, reading. He'll say, I want you to pray this prayer over so-and-so or about this situation. In your family first. If you're just starting out, it'll be in your family first. It's always family first. And then your ever-widening circle. As you're faithful to do it for your family, then he'll spread it out to the city, to the nations, to where you can influence. I had so many things about children in here that I wanted to relate to you so much. But the most important thing that you can do is to become aware of his presence every day with you. To help you in situations at work with people, seemingly your enemies. They're only allowing the enemy to use them when they come up against you. So that means that the enemy is using them in every part of their lives. And most people don't know that, you know. The average person out there working a 9-to-5 job and handling their kids and every day life, they don't know the Lord. Some of them may know the Lord and maybe in a denominational church. They don't know that they have an enemy that's actively working in every place he can get in their lives to destroy them and their children and their entire families. And if you'll allow him, the Holy Spirit will use you to stop that, to bring them closer to the Lord so that they can stand in the place that he's called them. So he only needs your time and I know the influx of people is going to be so great. Most of you guys have been coming here now for a long time. And you know so much more than what is out there. And I'm not saying that out of any sense of pride or It's not an arrogant thing to say or anything. I'm just so thankful that our pastor has said yes to the time with the Holy Spirit. And you all are so needed. Every one of you. He has called you to a certain place in the body of Christ. And you are so needed. You are so important. You take a look at everybody. The person next to you, just look at them. You are so important to me. Tell them that. You are so important to me. We don't have any idea. Each one of us is so important. We all have our place. He'll show each one of us what to do. And it's all so needed. And he is a great time management person, the Holy Spirit. As you spend time with him, he'll bring faces of the people that you see. Now he plans on bringing, and he told me, an influx. I think that's what he said. Although I said, "Did you say influx, Father?" I said, "I don't think. Did I hear that right?" So I put a question mark on it when I wrote it down. Because of that, it's going to require more of our lives. When he told me that, more of our lives. More. That's what I do now. But you all are teachers and pastors and some apostles and some prophets. Although I wouldn't go around telling anybody that. But I do. That's what I want. I want you to have the sense to know how important you are to the body of Christ, how important the time is that you will spend alone with the Holy Spirit. And I don't mean just I mean while you're doing dishes, while you're doing laundry, while you're driving your car on the way to work, while you're in the bathroom at work, while you're taking your lunch break, as you sit at your desk, if it's to where you can. Just welcome his presence. Oh, I welcome you, Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful you're here with me to teach me, to lead me into all truth, to show me things to come. And all of those things that he is. And he will help you to worship Jesus and bring words to you from heaven that will accomplish. When you speak them, they will accomplish God's. He'll be able to bring his kingdom to come and his will to be done on this earth just like he intended it.
We're just going to take a few minutes, and we've got coffee and tea and some muffins and some... Right, and here's Sue. Oh, actually, Leah has a question for Sue. That's how we'll do it.
All right. I listened with very much interest to what you were saying, and it just sounded so smooth and so lovely and so unruffled. And I just wondered, was it always like that? Was everybody really thrilled that you were confessing the word? Were there any problems that you might like to address for us? Did you ever have some emotions that were not just peace and joy and love and laughter?
Let's see. The problem would be the time periods, because from the beginning, since our world was turned upside down, we've gone through these periods, you know, of knowing that the Lord told us to do something. And especially when we came here and every instruction that we received from the Holy Spirit, all of the brought new waves of emotional upheaval. If you can imagine what it was like to have a Bible study and invite people into your home when you had lived like almost like a hermit for 7 years or so and didn't spend any time at all talking to anybody really except your friends, and on a few of those, your relatives and people at the church occasionally, because I didn't even speak to a lot of people at the church a lot. Gary was on the road driving the trucks, and so I just didn't spend much time visiting here at the church afterwards or get to know anybody real well, and I liked it that way. So after we started praying... See, the more people you let into your life, the more it's of your life is required, the more turmoil, problems, all of those things you open yourself up to. After you've been hurt by people for a long period of time, that's the human tendency. Forget people. Well, Gary and I both had gotten to that point. And so I don't know if I could get across to you how drastic it was just for me to open up a Bible study. But that's what I kept seeing in the front yard. We'd be praying. We were praying down here. We would spend Friday nights into Saturday and afternoon, and we would bring a lunch. Everybody would bring a dish for lunch Saturday. We were doing that at the time, I believe. And so we were praying in tongues at home quite a lot, just almost continually at the time. You get into that habit, and you have to make yourself not pray in tongues then when you're with other people and out doing things, you know. But after a while, you don't even care about not praying in tongues when you're out in Walmart, because you just don't care. You say, those people can't save me. Those people can't deliver me. Those people can't change my world. Why should I care what they think? You know, you just get to that point. I'm letting the Holy Ghost do what He wants to do in me, changing everything. So, but anyway, I kept seeing the sign out in the front yard. And Gary and I weren't spending a lot of time speaking to each other at the time, because he was spending so much time at the ugly building. This was after he had come off the road. And that alone, him spending all the time at the ugly building while I was going through all this emotional upheaval, made me mad. And even though I knew without a shadow of a doubt that was the very best thing that he could possibly do, what does that matter when your emotions are screaming? You get over here and help me with these emotions that are driving me crazy. You soothe me. You pet me. Gary's a great petter. He kept asking me if I wanted him to be here today, if I wanted him to bring me, or if there was anything he could do for me all the time. He was He was trying to help the Mark find places and doing all the stuff that he needs to do. But he's so thoughtful, and I appreciate him so much. If you all got to spend any time with Gary at our house, you would find that he's exactly the same, whether he's here or there. Except where I'm concerned. If you get my drift. Okay. But it hasn't always been that way for us. But anyway, seeing the sign. So I was seeing that while I was praying. Gary was, and the Lord was speaking to him about bringing all those people that we used to see occasionally. And a lot of them had gotten saved at the same time that we had, but were no longer in church or doing anything. You know, they're just kind of going with the flow of the world, and they were still Christians and everything, you know, but just open to everything that anything that the devil could get to them with. And so started having all the people so I knew that was what we had to do. Because I also knew in my mind, I knew. In my heart, I knew. It didn't matter about the emotions. Well, it did matter, but we had a wonderful teacher in Michael. He taught us from the beginning. Doesn't have anything to do with how you feel. What does the Word of God say? And every time you face a circumstance in your life, that's how it'll be. Are you going to believe the Word of God? Are you going to do what God says to do? Or are you going to let your emotions rule your life forever? Are they going to be your Lord? Are they going to tell you what you can and can't do? Are they going to keep on destroying relationships with people that God loves so much and is trying to reach through you? But your little outbursts of emotions just come out and just cut them to pieces. But so we started having all the people come in. Every Thursday, I think it was, from the time I woke up, devils. Yammering. Now, I had learned by this time, I knew how to house clean in the spirit. I knew how to run devils off from my house and from my family. It had taken me years to find that out, to where God's peace can come in so strong that people actually feel it. They can get relief for their souls from torment when they come into your house. See, when you create the atmosphere that God can move in, where His presence is so strong in your home, and that's it's just by loving Him, it's just worshiping Him. I do it. I make up songs to Him. Some of them are silly. And that most of them are made up from my heart, things from His Word, things that He's told us to do. I incorporate in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs who He's been in our lives, who His Word says He is to us and in us, and what He wants to do through us. I use all of that as I'm speaking to Him. And that's when He can give you the wisdom that redeems the time, because the day is evil. So you can stop the destroyer. At the time, though, every morning, the day of the Bible study, just yammer, 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 screaming in my ear, just all kinds of stuff. it just wear me out. I'd be cleaning house. I couldn't get them to shut up. And that's the way it was most of the time that we were having that Bible study. By the time that it would be over, I would just be exhausted. But by this time I knew. I never told Gary, no, I don't want to have it anymore. I never said anything like that. I knew what was going on. I knew my emotions didn't matter one whit when it came to us doing what God told us to do. They just aren't going to be Lord over our lives. Jesus is our only Lord. That's another thing. When you pray for your husband, that he takes his place under the lordship of Jesus Christ, he stands in the authority of head of the house as priest of the home with Jesus as his head. When you worship God, that's the way it is, and you won't have it any other way. Then he's able to do things in your husband, and you women that aren't married yet, you start praying that and praying all of the things that the Holy Spirit will show you in the Word of God. You start praying those things now. If you're believing God for a husband, so he can work those things in him now before he comes. And all the things that need to happen in you in order for you to be the wife that God wants you to be. He loves your faith. It doesn't, whether you're married or unmarried. When the Lord told us, we'd had Bible study for a while, Gary started teaching. And every change in our lives was so drastic. The Lord told us specific things. Everything was very hard on the emotions. Everything from going on Sid Roth. I thought I was going to go nuts when they asked us to go on Sid Roth, even though I knew that that's what we should do and give away the tapes for free. That young girl said, Mr. Carpenter, you do understand that we go into other nations. We're broadcasting other nations of the world, you know, Israel and all these different places. And that could mean a lot of requests for free tapes. What's Gary going to say, you know? That's not our job. We'll do it. Because God had told us that was what we should do. So no matter what. Everything, when he told us, we were going out through a person that ministered here. This is another thing. Have you all gotten your words together yet? All the words that God has spoken to you through a person that you trust in, that you know heard from God, or in your prayer time through your just to yourself. Have you gotten all those together yet? Are you thanking God that that's the way it is now? No matter what your circumstances are.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Just checking. When we went out the very first time to Houston, I had garage sale clothes. I had gone to a garage sale and found some luggage because we didn't have any. And so everything was telling us, you shouldn't be doing this. You don't have any right to do this. You know, all these things, you know, all of these things. And I don't even remember all the lies. They're not important because they didn't work. And they never will. Is that answering your question? Daily, not so much anymore, but daily during all that time of that, the major change of getting into the Lord placing us into the ministry where he pushed us out to the public, say, to other people, so that we would be outside these walls. It was such a, I had to fight like a possessed woman. And I was possessed by the Holy Ghost, and I thank God for it, because every emotion in me would have changed everything from the way it is now. If I had allowed those to rule and to be Lord, the Lord would not have been able to do, to bless people like he has through Gary's teaching. I know he wouldn't have. And there's so much more. And I know it's the same for all of you guys, see? The people that he wants to bring in here from every nation, they're going to require part of your life, your life, your ministry, whatever God has called you to do. You're going to be ministers. And he has made you able ministers. And whatever you're calling. But anyway, anything else do I need?
As far as husband and wife being called into the ministry, would you say more it's completeness? Or do you perceive it as the wife having the same calling as the husband?
It's always God calls husbands and wives together. It's always that. You may manifest different gifts of the Holy Spirit, but it's always one calling with different manifestations. Always. There's no such thing. We've seen many. Tim and Leah could probably tell you even more about the different things that they've seen. The devil able to pull husbands and wives apart. Because that's exactly what he tries to do from the onset. From the time you get saved, every time you hear God, he'll use every opportunity, every day of your life to destroy your marriage, to destroy your unity, your family, everything. But did I answer your question? He never calls just one person of the marriage. If you're married, you're both called. There's been, we've met many people that didn't think that way, and it's caused a lot of trouble for them too.
Sue, if it's okay, I thought you mentioned single women, and I thought this would be a really good time for Kelly to give like a 4 or 5 minute testimony if she's willing. Kelly, can I just call on you real quick? This girl decided she was going to become a winner in an area, and I just want her to share quickly how she did it. I know about this firsthand.
I have a 19-year-old son now. I got divorced when he was 2, right before he turned 2. And so I really didn't like being single. I knew when I got divorced I didn't like being single. So I didn't want a husband to be my God, but I did want a husband. I wanted a husband just probably like Dave talks about wanting being a minister. So anyways, it took me a while to realize, but I realized that I had to find out exactly how God wanted me to seek one. And my son would tell me, Mom, I just want a dad. And he would pray. And he would pray. He has a dad, but he lives in another state. He said, you know, one that'll be here with us all the time. And one night I was laying down with him, and he started crying. He said, Mommy, I just want a dad. And it just killed me inside, just killed me. And I said, Johnny, I can't fix it. I've tried to fix it, John. And every time I do, we have disasters. And this little boy is so little. And I couldn't go into any more detail with him than that, but I think he kind of got it because of my track record. And so one time I came to church and Gary Carpenter was talking about, I was always trying to listen to the Lord, but I had, like Sue talks about, that clamoring. So I wasn't really sure which route to take, but I knew to pray in the Spirit and read the Word and worship. I love to worship. I don't do enough of it, but I love it. And so anyways, Gary had talked about confessing the Word. And so I stopped him. And Gary doesn't mind people liking to analyze things and break it down. And one thing he said, you know, you've got to do, and he said to everybody, he said, whatever the Lord tells you to do, I can't tell you an exact formula of how many times, how often. So I thought, oh, geez, Lord, this is going to be interesting. So I got some scriptures together and I wrote them out. And I said, Lord, how many times? Because David taught on fasting. We had talked about, of course, praying in the Spirit and worshiping. I said, Lord, how many times? What do I do here? And my self-esteem was so low. And even now, my confidence isn't in Kelly at all. And I tell my husband that, my son, it's not in me. It's just in the God we serve. So I was really stressed over this problem. And so anyway, so I said, Lord, so I got some scriptures on a mate. That's what we started with, the scriptures on the mate. And I said, how many times, Lord, should I confess this? Now, other people did it just by timing it. The reason why I couldn't do it by timing it is I would fall asleep. I would try to time it and I would fall asleep. So I set out to confess. And so I got like 10 scriptures. Now, I can tell you how many times I confessed it, but really, whatever it is you're standing for, whether it be your child, whether it be what, or a mate, it's really how many times, whatever the Lord leads you to, what scriptures the Lord leads you to. I mean, I can give scriptures. That's not a problem. But so when I first started doing it, I thought I would time it because Dave talked about walking around the coffee table, that lady that walked around the coffee table and got a breakthrough. And I thought, I'm afraid I'll sit down because I'm a janitor. Plus, I cleaned houses at the time. Plus, I have at the time, my son was very active. And I also homeschooled, not the whole time, but part of the time through a school homeschooling service. So anyways, so in this, I thought I'm going to have to count it because I was losing track of time. So I used lollipops to count every 100 times. Lollipops. Well, before I knew it, my son and his friends had eaten my lollipops. So we moved into pennies because you can always find pennies around my house. So we moved into pennies. Well, Gary would see me and Gary would say, have you met him yet, Kelly? Because I told him what I was doing. I said, no, Gary. But he said, keep at it. You're going to meet him. Keep at it. Well, Leah had seen me one day and she said, Kelly, I know you're confessing, but ask the Lord to make those words become real to you, because if you're not careful, you're saying it so much, it can just become like redundant. And Gary's talked about how we have to put a vision in our heart. So I began visioning. Some women do, and this is not wrong, but for me, I never had a vision of what he would look like. And Gary said, you know, you might want to make a list. Well, I found the list that I was led to make, but everybody's different, was more on Tim's character. But see, I didn't know it was Tim. And so I started binding counterfeits because, like I told you ladies, I had had some disasters. So, and not that I'm saying it was all them, but I thought I better bind counterfeits because I'm not doing too good here previously. So I bound counterfeits, like you said, Sue, the spiritual warfare. And I did what I needed to do, so I kept confessing. Well, I said that he would know me before I knew him. And my husband can be very strong when it comes to defending us, but he's a very gentle man, very gentle, very kind. But in my confession, I confessed I had scriptures, but then I also confessed that he pursued me and that I heard much laughter in my home, much laughter, because I can be, and I don't like this about my personality, but I can be extremely serious. And so I met Tim. And so Tim just kind of, he was real nice to me. We met at church social and he called me and he said, if I asked you after, I said, yes. And prior to this, I had been, like I said, confessing the word. So Tim, you know, called and started pursuing me. Well, the thing I found interesting as I got to know him, in my confession, I said, he rings my phone, he rings my doorbell. My mate pursues me. So So Tim did pursue me. Even as gentle as he is, I would hear him ringing the doorbell. I would hear him ringing the phone constantly. I mean, not a nuisance, but a lot. And I loved the attention. I mean, I loved it. I was eating it up. I would save the messages on my answering machine. I would play them for my aunt. I would play them for my friends that came over. If he wrote me a love letter, well, I was a little more private about the love letters. But whatever he left on the machine was public news. And he had a friend that's extremely witty, so his friend would leave these hilarious ones and would add my son's name in it, so we'd play those over and over again. Well, but there was a problem. Well, not really a problem, but I prayed that he would know that I was his mate before me, because I felt like I had been deceived so many times before. So Tim came to my house, I think it was on, I mean, this was a very short courtship, and I prayed for a short courtship, so it was probably pretty strange to people around me. But anyways, he came to my house one night and he said, you know, Kelly, I've been praying. He's not the type that talks about prayer much. I mean, he does do it, but he doesn't talk about it. He said, and the Lord told me that that we're to be together, and this is God, Kelly. So I very quickly got scared and I shooed him off. I mean, I just shooed him off. I just thought, I don't know what this is all about, Tim. I mean, I was nice to him. He said, well, let me just leave you this. And it was a beautiful card and note, and he's not one to write a lot. So then after that, we got engaged very quickly and got married. So having said all that, and I've had problems at my house, not with my husband. I mean, we've had some health issues, but not, believe me, problems I've had with men, it takes a lot for me to say there's really a problem. And so there there's not, except for health issues and small things, but I have learned that no matter what goes on, that God really will come through, and there is so much power in that word. There is so much power, because your word really will change things. And I've had problems, and I've learned, I'm seeing there's a big issue we're dealing with now, and I'm seeing even with that, God changing it. And so that's all I wanted to say, is that it really does work. And I will gladly tell you the equation I use, but like I said, I think the bottom line is what God tells you to do.
The length of the confession and courtship was about 3 months. And they were married here on Valentine's Day. 5 or 6 years ago, Kelly? 8. Okay. You should write those scriptures down, Kelly, and bring them to church, because somebody might really want to use those. You and Gary have blessed many people by just giving them the truth, Sue. I'd like to know if I could give a quick testimony.
Please.
My daughter, who is here this morning, lived in Norway at this time. And I got a call from her, and she's a nurse, and she has her master's degree in nursing. But yet a situation came to her that the master's degree wouldn't help and couldn't help. And that was that her little girl, and we didn't know it was a little girl then, was not doing well in the womb and was losing a lot of weight. And this was about a month before she was to be born. And I remember having gotten that information just before I came to church, and I shared it with Daisy. And right here, after the service, we got down on our knees and we began confessing scripture that this child would live and not die. And this child would serve the Lord. And this child would be healthy. All the scriptures that we knew to confess. And not to brag, but just to say that God is so good and He desires godly seed in the earth. I would just like my granddaughter, Amy, to come up and give me a hug.
Aww. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God does hear and answer prayer, and He does respond to scriptures. And to the word, the Lord says the angels hearken to the voice of His word. And I want to thank my friend Daisy for being faithful and not too anxious to get home that night that we prayed at that altar for that child. Okay. Would anybody like to say anything before we leave? We don't want to keep you too long.
Sue, you started back in the 80s, and, you know, I'm feeling, I think a lot of people are feeling, that the manifestation of the revival that Dave and all of you have been praying about for years is just, we're on the brink of it. And, you know, you pretty much pioneered that. You guys pioneered that here. And for us that are coming in a little bit later, you know, do we have time to get to that place where we can feed the children that come in and mature to that point where...
Oh, yes. Not to worry at all.
Okay.
Don't even... Huh?
No one is late.
No one is late. You probably know you have what it takes to feed any person that comes into this place. Every one of you has more than enough. You're able to encourage, exhort, lift up, edify, which means to build up. Any person that walks through that door, you can do it. You hear the Holy Spirit. When you come to a service, every service that you come to, you ask the Lord on the way or sometime when you get here, Father, if there's anything that you want me to do, any person you want me to talk to, anybody you want me to pray for, whatever you want, I'll do it. I'm here to feed your people, to minister to your people, whatever you want me to do. You just tell me and I'll do it. Sometimes you'll see a person whose face will stand out to you across the church. It's like their face will be lit up in the midst of a sea of faces there. And the Holy Spirit will say, pray for them. You may not even know their name. And people coming through the door that you don't know their name, but the Lord will just draw them or you to them. And have you pray. And He'll give you specific prayers to pray also. And when you do that, at that time, the Holy Spirit will move in. That will give Him the authority that He needs to move into their lives to start changing them according to His prayer for them. And or after church, ask Him if there's someone that needs you to talk to them or Him to be able to flow through you for them. Because that's what it is, just Him using you as that part of the body, the hand, the elbow, just a body working, just supplying what all the other members need, that's in unison and orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. So I had the scriptures out and everything, if this is all right. I know it's getting late, but I was reading, Gary and Tim have been talking about how the Lord has spoken about the foundation already being laid. And that now He's starting to build the walls up. Well, if you read long time ago, it spoke to us then and it spoke to us even more now. When they're building the wall, when they've returned to Jerusalem, because after they'd been carried away captive, you know, and you read in Ezra and Nehemiah and when Cyrus, the king, gives the decree that God uses an unbeliever, a heathen. Well, he's not an unbeliever, he's a heathen. And uses him to decree the rebuilding of the walls in Jerusalem, rebuilding of the city and the temple and everything. And the thing that has so stood out to me all the time, each family takes their place on the wall. And they fight with one hand, the sword in one hand, while they're rebuilding the wall. And if you guys have time, you ought to read that and let the Lord speak to you about that. And I do believe that He'll show you your place in the body as quickly as he can get it across to you. He's not withholding it from you. He doesn't try to keep a secret from you, you know, in that regard. But every time when the enemies of Israel would come to stop the building of the wall, they would just repeat what the king said. We say what the king said. And that's what we're to do. We keep saying what our king says. And no matter what the evil reports, no matter what our adversary sins against us, we just say what the king says. And his will be done during this building of the walls. And he'll do it as quickly as he can, because he plans to house them, to bring in a lot of people into these walls, not only a physical, but the spiritual church too.
Sue, Patty wanted to say something, and then Brenda has something, and we'll go.
Okay.
She's brave to give an evangelist the microphone. You know, we talk about positive confession, and that's obviously the most important thing, but sometimes we need to realize the negative confession that comes out of our mouth as well. And I want to give you an example. We had two sons, and then we had a daughter, and so we used to kid, oh, you're not going to date or get married till you're 35. And that's something fathers say often over their daughters. Oh, you're not going to marry till you're 30. You're not going to date till you're 30. You're not going to wear makeup till you're 20, you know. And so for years we had confessed over our daughter, you're not going to, and it became kiddingly, you're not going to get married until you're 35. Well, after our self-imposed wilderness from the Lord, and we came back, Red and I began to be aware of some of our confessions and needed to pray for crop failure, because we had made negative confessions over our children. Oh, you're the clumsiest thing. Oh, you can't ever get that right. Or, you know, other things that we would say that just become ingrained in your speech. One example is we'll tell somebody directions, we'll always say, go to the stoplight. Why don't we ever say, go to the go light? You know, it's always, and so sometimes we make these negative confessions. So one of the things that we cut off was saying our daughter wasn't going to get married until she was 35. And so Red and I got together and we just prayed and we said, Father, we ask for a crop failure. This seed that we have planted into her life for years and years, we break that off and we cast it down in the name of Jesus. And she was 23 at the time. Within 2 weeks, she met the man she was going to marry. Within 2 weeks' time, she walked in and she saw him in church and she said, he's the one. And within a year's time, they were married. They've been married 2.5 months and now she's pregnant. So.
I just was reminded of what Tim had said a couple of weeks ago. No one is late.
Amen.
And then I guess the first of last year, I was listening to one morning, woke up about 2 o'clock, turned on the Pastor Dave's tape, The Tree of Life. And he said the worst enemy we have is believing the enemy's lie that we're not going to make it. So that's where the problem is. Mm-hmm. We've got to bring those thoughts under obedience to Jesus Christ, cast down those imaginations, and get the word coming out of our mouth.
Amen.
Because the worst enemy we have is believing the enemy's lie.
Yes.
That we're not going to make it. We're going to make it.
Amen. Amen. Victory.
Victory is our crop.
V-I-C-T-O-R-Y.
Yeah. Give you these roses and just, we really appreciate.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, thank you. Real flowers.
It's really heavy.
Oh, isn't they beautiful? Thank you so much. I'll just enjoy these. Oh. Because nothing's growing at my house.
You know,
now.
I'm praying for people to
Oh, I'd love to.
I just want to tell people if they want to come up.
That, I'm sorry, what?
Just if anybody wants to come up for prayer, that you're more than welcome, and Sue will pray.
Okay.
For you?
Or that way. I was going to pray over you up here, just, you know, but that way will work too. Because those are some of the things that God has spoken to me and has said at various times that I'll walk in, is that not only the healing, and which he wants all of us to walk in these things. I know he does. I know the words of wisdom, and it's been really interesting to some of the things that I see in the spirit, you know, sometimes when I'm praying for people. And most of the things are not for you to speak out. He's just showing them so you know how to pray, and he explains them. You know, I like it how he has taught me all these years, and I so appreciate it. I would like for Leah and Daisy to teach on prayer. They've been at it so long and know so much, and the Lord has taught them so much. And I would love to hear that. But there's so many, every one of you, I would love to hear. Just tell us about what God has done for you, what great things, the tender care and the grace that he's brought into your life, and the answered prayers, and what he's done in your family, and how he's shown you things. I would love to hear all of you. I just think these are wonderful. Because, well, I think they're needed. But anyway, so any of you, if you would like for me to pray for you, but I thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you for every one of these dear women, every one of your daughters, Father. I just so appreciate them. Help us to appreciate each other more and more. I thank you. When they leave here, that it's just into more of your grace, your presence in their lives, every day of their lives, every moment, every waking moment, Father, they're aware of the presence of your Spirit. They hear your Holy Spirit speak to them. And he leads them into all truth about who they are, who you've made them, Jesus, all that you desire to do through them, Lord. Not one of them falls behind in any gift. And they know your great love for them that passes knowledge. And every one of them is filled with your fullness. In Jesus' name, thank you.